What is up, everybody, and welcome to the Tailgate. This is Tailgate Talks, and we are back. It is June 3rd now. It's been several weeks since we last hopped on the mics. It's summertime here where news is a little bit slower, but there's something happening in Texas Tech sports that's definitely worth getting back on the mics for. We got that to talk about. We're going to do shows over summer a little bit differently this year. We're going to be calling it our summer six pack. So each episode we'll be diving into six topics, discussing those.
One beer per topic.
I'm unfortunately not drinking yet. I still have the stint in me till tomorrow. So next time on the mics, I won't be drinking six beers, but I'll have maybe one or two. But that's the plan for the summer. That way we can cover a multitude of topics that we find interesting, keeps the show kind of free. Maybe we can find some other things to talk about, especially because it's summer. It's a little bit slower this time of year. Yep. So that's kind of what you can expect for the summer. But we've got some softball to talk about. That's going to lead us off. So with all that said, let's go.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go.
All right, Dustin. Well, it's a sport that we don't talk about a whole lot on this podcast, but just like every Texas Tech fan that there is, we are hooked to the Texas Tech softball team as they continue to just do unprecedented things for this program. Sorry, it's last night after the win. I didn't even know how to say anything after that. I was so excited. It's been a fantastic run to watch here in this postseason, a dominant regional here in Lubbock that saw them get to the first Super Regionals ever. We headed out to Tallahassee. Coach Glasgow drove the pitching machine all the way out to Tallahassee, and you knocked off the five seed Florida State to punch your ticket to your first ever Women's College World Series. And all you've done this entire postseason is continue to win, put yourself in the lead, hold on to those leads, and win. You knock off Ole Miss, you knock off UCLA, and then to cap it off, you knock off the back-to-back-to-back-to-back defending champ, the Oklahoma Sooners, last night in a thriller, a walk-off in the bottom of the seventh. To end that streak in their chances at a five-peat and put yourself in the College World Series finals for the first time to face Texas. Dustin, I know I just went through a lot there, but your thoughts on just what has transpired over the last few weeks with this program and just the excitement that has taken over Red Raider Nation through these ladies.
Yeah, they definitely have a lot of support out there. There's no lack of that right now in the Texas Tech Twitterverse. And it's getting national news. I mean, McAfee talked about it the last couple of days as well. Yeah. So, like, they're talking about it.
But yeah, this been is on. MLB has, you know, tweeted out some of the stuff. We're on the Art But Make It Sports had a Twitter post.
Hell
to
yeah.
Us. Like, they're everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, Dallas Braden, A's announcer, is watching on
Patrick
his iPad
Mahomes.
From Mahomes is live tweeting during commercial shoots or weddings or whatever.
Whatever he is.
This is by far the most softball of any level I have ever watched, probably including Olympics, even when those were on and good. The most I've watched in the last 2 weeks for sure. And Nyjah has pitched every inning of those.
Yeah, I'm
McAfee
locked
had
in.
That in the last five games, she's pitched all 300 pitches, or what, 400 pitches maybe? I don't know.
They had a stat in like her last two World Series accounts. She's pitched like every single pitch, which is up to probably almost 700 pitches in a row she's thrown at the World Series.
Well, so now like more game time talk. With how we've been winning, being able to take a day off in between, she can stay fresh and is good to hit or good to pitch every one of these games. And it's not really pushing it. Her pitch count's sitting like right at 100 for all these games too. It's not crazy. I mean, I didn't think the Oklahoma pitcher would make it last night to the sixth or seventh, and she gutted it out, ended up going like 120 plus because we were racking up, racking her pitch count up pretty early. And then, you know, had those couple innings where we got quite a few hits, but she hung in there tough.
And she was off. And this is her third straight day of pitching too. So
yes, she pitched like 4.5 the other day and pitched, I think, a full game the day before that. So I thought we'd get to her, but she stayed solid. They made it exciting. I thought we had them pretty handedly because they really hadn't been able to hit Naja all day. I mean, throughout these playoffs, we've seen Naja get in like a tight spot about one inning per game.
Yeah.
And then UCLA, she had the bases loaded, and we were getting pretty nervous early, and she got out of there. And she shows her emotions too, which apparently some people on the internet don't like.
God forbid you have fun and compete, you know.
And are excited that you struck a girl out. She's not yelling F you at the girl. She's pumped that she did her job well.
Like, I love to see the UCLA fan base get mad when their fucking team's throwing a party in their dugout in the third inning and doing all this obnoxious.
Clean bats on the concrete or put cones on your head. Fucking
get
idiots.
Mad at a girl yelling when she strikes somebody out when you got a fucking disco ball in your dugout. Come on.
Yeah, that's clown stuff rather than what we're doing. But we'll talk a little more Naja in a minute. The hitters came to play yesterday in the OU game. But before that, we had been struggling and pretty dry out there with the bats.
I think they said we won two games in a row without scoring an earned run.
Yeah, I believe it. I mean, we get a walk and then that's about it. Somehow get like a stolen base and then like one hit. Like, that's it. I mean, I said it the other night. I was like, they showed Naja's ERA and it was 0.85. I was like, well, if we score a run, good luck scoring one on her. Yeah, and we did. We won 1-0. That's all you needed. And it's incredible to watch, man. But back to the hitters. Those girls in the – they were playing really well yesterday against Oklahoma. And then, those – after OU ties it up with the great hit, Naja just left a changeup hanging. That girl was waiting on it and got a hold of it. So that's hard to come back to, I think, when you're – emotions are on the verge of winning and celebrating to, oh shit, we might have just gave it up and where's this going now, to lock in, get a couple hits. Tony almost hits a bomb.
Yeah, that would have been
I didn't know where that ball was going. It looked good. The girl's going back and fans got up. I was like, is it getting out? And the girl looks like she's gonna catch it. I'm like, oh, it's just gonna be caught. Nope, it's overhead at the wall.
The girl like stopped. Yeah, the way she like kind of stopped and gathered herself, I was like, oh man, this is gonna be like, and then it was just a little bit over. And
but she played well enough that Davis couldn't score just yet.
Yeah, because she still had to play like it was gonna get caught.
Yes.
And the bounce kind of went to OU's favor there, where their
center fielder was ready.
Yeah. And so I thought like, because at the time I thought that was it.
I did too.
And I was like, oh my gosh, that's it. And then I realized Mia didn't had to hold up a little bit.
Right. And then even next pitch, first pitch swinging.
Yeah.
All red. Didn't hit a deep shot. I mean, it was still a play at the plate.
It fell off the bat. I was like, off the bat, I was like, game. Because it felt like it was going to be deeper than it is. But
she
then
came in
just
to catch it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It dove. And luckily, that left fielder or right fielder was jacked up and missed the throw. Because if that throw's online, it's a damn close play.
Yeah. She kind of short-armed the throw, it looked like. And luckily, you had your fastest player on third, Mia Davis, who, you know, shout out to her, who had been just not great at the plate the entirety of the World Series so far. I don't think she hadn't reached base. She was 0-for-8, and she comes up and gets her first hit, and you're like, all right, once you got her on, you've got a chance here because you got one of the best stolen base players in the country. You have Haley Toney, who's just been your best hitter the entirety of this playoff run. who hits the home run in the UCLA game right after they tie it to put you back up. And so she comes up, has that clutch hit. You get Mia Davis at third. And then, like you said, Allred just waiting on that first pitch. She said after that she was swinging first pitch like no matter
Hell
what. like that was the plan. Hey, she's going to – if they're going at you, they're going to throw you a pitch to hit. Just get the bat on it and put it in play somehow. And you felt like you had a good chance of scoring there with Mia Davis on third.
Yeah, great job. ESPN did a terrible job. They were more concerned about the former Oklahoma players that were behind the dugout on the concourse rather than showing the teams equally or the stuff on the field or the actual kids playing.
Yeah. Oklahoma Sooner Magic. And I was getting so annoyed. I mean, the UCLA game and this game both, I was pretty annoyed by, you know, obviously they're two prestigious programs who've won a ton of championships.
Excited for the new kid on the block, though.
Yeah, but yeah, the Oklahoma players were annoying as hell. I was like, get these guys off my screen, and that's why I was so happy that they were in the background when we scored there.
Yeah. Do you have anything else on the Oklahoma game? One more on something else.
I mean, I want to shout out Demi Elder, who has been here at Tech for 4 years, and we know those aren't an easy 4 years to be
three coaches.
The way this program has been, some of the stuff that happened with those coaches. not necessarily great, and that she sticks it out and gets rewarded, and not only that, she has the clutch triple that got you on the board. And then scores to put you up 2-0. I thought that was really, really cool moment for her. And in a day and age where players leave all the time, she had multiple reasons to leave, sticks it out. And to see a player like that get rewarded and get to go play for a national championship, like that's one of the reasons you love college sports. And so just that I wanted to shout her out there.
Definitely.
Because I thought that was a really cool moment. Other than that, I thought it was a really just fun game to watch, even though it was low scoring. Softball's gotten a fan out of me. Like, it's pretty fun, especially when you have the best pitcher in the world going.
I also like the 7 innings, pretty quick, like 2 hour time span.
Yeah.
And it's more, a little faster paced, it seems like. I don't know.
Yeah. It feels like it's constantly moving. And maybe it's just like the smaller field.
Yeah,
the hits feel a little faster. You know, you get a little dink and you can make it to third base on it. And you know, so it's been fun. It's been entertaining. I don't quite yet understand all the rules.
I don't understand all these. Well, I don't understand all these pinch hitters and pinch runners.
Yeah,
free for all.
Yeah,
like I'm like, wait, what? We're taking Nyjah out in the third already? She just got on base. No, you can just do that.
Yeah, you can just.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you can like, and then, yeah, I think you can even like if we took Nyjah out for an inning to pitch, we could put her back in to pitch later. I think there's some weird rules out there. I think, I don't know the specifics. We'd have to talk to friends at Seeing Scarlet to have to know more about softball and all the specific rules. But I think it's like you can take a player out twice in a game.
Sure. I'll believe
but
you.
Yeah, you've seen it at times where he pinch hit for Mia Davis yesterday.
Yes.
And he said at the end of the game he was just trying to get her pissed off and motivated.
Hell yeah.
He's pinch hit for Vic Valdez a couple times. Of course, if Nyjah gets on base, we usually pinch run for her. So, yeah. A lot of tinkering with the lineup Coach Glasgow does.
Yeah, speaking of Coach Glasgow, that leads me to where I was going. Obviously, like, best play of the weekend for you was your pinch hit to win it, walk it off, end Oklahoma's dynasty. But second best play by far is stealing home in the UCLA game out of nowhere after the pitch was thrown.
Yeah. Two outs in the inning.
What a
0-0 score.
Play. Yeah, 0 score. Perfect play. Pitch goes. There's a right-handed batter. The catcher can't see the runner on third. And she's
just going through the motions, you know.
She goes as soon as the catcher throws it back and is in there and slides under the catcher's legs. Was a pretty sweet picture. But what a ballsy call and perfect drawn up play and setup, and nailed it to make it happen. And that camera angle to show how blind the catcher was perfect too.
Yeah. Just gutsy as hell call there. And unfortunately, like, UCLA tied the game up right after. In the end all, you get the win. But it was like one of those games where you're just looking for something to give you a little momentum. Both teams were kind of looking for it. And it was just so fast. I was like, holy shit. We just, like, it was such a genius call because, you know, when you think of it, like, you're kind of just a catcher. You just go through the motions. And that's exactly what she did. She just caught the ball, giving it back to the pitcher, and boom, she's already halfway there.
Yep.
Pitcher didn't even have a chance to make a throw and play.
No.
But yeah, I thought that was definitely really cool. I thought, you know, Glasgow pulled a lot of the right strings in these games.
He goes for it, man.
He put Jennings in at a pitch hit spot in that UCLA game where you needed an insurance run, and she comes up and gets a hit. Scores a run, ends up putting you up 3-1 over UCLA, gives you a little bit more breathing room as you went into the last inning there. The pinch hit thing with Mia Davis, you know, gets her angry. He told us that he was saying after that, you know, he could tell she was a little upset by it. She comes out, gets her first hit, ends up being the game winning run. So he pulled a lot of the right strings. There's a couple times he missed on it, but I've been enjoying watching him coach. I think he's a terrific coach.
Yep, for sure.
Any other kind of things you want to talk about from the game-wise, from the games, you know, Ole Miss, UCLA, or Oklahoma that stand out?
Not that I don't think we have covered already. There was so much that happened. But also a lot of just three up, three down innings, so...
Yeah, lots of strikeouts. Nyjah collected her like 300th strikeout of the season in the last game.
That's crazy.
that's just crazy. I think Mia Davis scored a program record. I don't know what the record is. It's eight in the 80s or something. How many times she scored? But yeah, this is a really fun team to watch. You know, Nyjah gets a lot of the focus, and we're going to talk about her for our second part of the six pack here coming up in a little bit. But you know, I thought the defense has been really solid. There's been several plays. Lauren Allred made one hell of a diving play to get an out in that in the game yesterday. You've seen some nice catches from your outfielders. Shortstop Haley Tony there has made a few nice plays. Bailey Lindemuth over on third had a few nice plays in the UCLA game that were pretty difficult throws to make. So this whole team's just, you know, the clutch hitting and everything like that. You can talk about Nyjah all you want, but the other players have stepped up when they need to. And, you know, in this game where Oklahoma ties it up, it's your bats that come immediately in a basically road environment. Every other team craters to this team in this situation, and you step up and walk it off in the following inning. Really impressive, which sets up a matchup with who else but the Texas Longhorns in the national championship. No longer conference foes. You did face them earlier this season. You were 0-2 to them. You almost beat them in one game, and then they kind of kicked your ass in the second. But what are your thoughts on Texas Tech taking on Texas in the national championship, a interstate battle, former Big 12 conference foes, former rivals, facing off? For that, both teams would be their first national championship in the sport.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to play OU in the semis and knock them off, and then get Texas in the finals. Like, it gives a little extra spice and sauce to these matchups that we're a little new to in the sport wise, at least. You know, to play somebody familiar in general just is a little more fun and adds something to it, you know. So, yeah. It'll be fun. It'll be interesting to see, you know, playing back-to-back games, how we handle that, like with our pitching staff, you know? That's really what I'm interested in. So, yeah, very excited for Wednesday, Thursday, Hopefully we just win those two and we're done. Yeah. But if not, we'll play Friday and see what happens.
Yeah, it'd be nice to, you know, just get it done and over with Wednesday, Thursday, get those two dubs, not have to stress it, get that natty. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people on Twitter are saying this is the perfect script, right? If you're if you're like a softball writer or whatever, of just, hey, two rivals, two teams that hate each other. Texas Tech, the up and comer, knocking off the Oklahoma Sooners, and then facing the Texas Longhorns in the national championship. And if you're able to vanquish both of those teams and win it all, that's going to be absolutely incredible. That just winning a national championship is going to be awesome, but doing it against Texas just sweetens it a little bit more if you're able to pull it off. So, really excited for the first game to on Wednesday night. It's probably the day that you're listening to this episode, but big things ahead, and we'll be back to talk you know, what happens in this series. We'll probably have to get back on the mics next week to be able to do that, but it's time to open up beer number two in our summer six pack, so let's crack it open. All right, so there's been a lot of discourse about, of course, the star of the show, of the softball team. That's Nygerie Kennedy, who, you know, rightfully so, has garnered a lot of attention. She's the best player in the sport. She might have not won the award, but she's definitely the best player in the sport. Pitching every single pitch for the Red Raiders in Super Regionals and so far in the Women's College World Series. Of course, the big thing that everybody wants to talk about is the $1 million price tag for Nyjah. And so there's been, of course, a lot of discourse. A lot of the teams that are losing to us are pointing out. What's your kind of just thoughts on all this? I'm assuming we're going to be both on the same page of fuck them. And it's kind of stupid, but just kind of want to get your thoughts on what you've seen on the discourse surrounding Nyjah.
Yeah, that's why I wore my Mahomes jersey. It's the closest thing I could get to any softball gear. She's a Mahomes NIL athlete, and so this is my connection to that. And so we talked about it, I don't know, less than a year ago when it happened. It was kind of crazy, but we literally got the by far best pitcher the last 2 years, and now she's hitting over 300 as well, and hits bombs. And you got a very good all-around player, not just the best pitcher anymore. Yeah. And now that she's healthy, she can pitch through blisters every game very effectively. I mean, it's ridiculous going from a 72-mile-an-hour rise ball to a 52 changeup in that little bit of space. That's why she gets so many strikeouts. And
that little graphic they show, just it shocks me every time, like the difference. I'd love to just kind of get in there and just see what it looks like from a hitter standpoint, just because
my friend Jillian was telling me, like, she was watching the game, and she's like, 72 is like 97 at that space, and then to try to go to that 55-mile-an-hour changeup, you don't have enough time to see it and wait on it unless you're already waiting for it. And so the NIL aspect of it, I mean, we just swung for the fences. We, one, have a donor who wants the softball team to be good. Yeah, that's a big point of this. A lot of places.
And she played for the softball team.
Correct. And so that helps a ton. We haven't even, so that's the other side of like the Double Eagle guys that Cody Kimmel's part of. We hadn't even cracked into that side of this money. Yeah. Think about that. And I know he wants to stay kind of under the radar right now, but he does need to get, the family does need to get some credit for this, going all in on this. But it's a lot of Nyjah, obviously, because she's the best pitcher. But like you mentioned at the end of that last segment, we also brought in a lot of better transfers and players. Couldn't just do it with Nyjah plus last year's roster.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have worked as well. Couple freshmen. You also brought in on a really good coach that has had a lot of success and has gone to the playoffs. I mean, his pitcher last year was the Oklahoma pitcher.
Yeah.
last night. And so you did more than just get an Isaiah through there. But you, I mean, yeah, was that your big hitter, big chip? Yes. But you also brought in a winning coach, and you brought in Isaiah to help show them all how to win also. So maybe when she leaves in 2 years, they can already have this built a little bit. You get a couple more transfers or people that have been there already.
Yeah.
And now you're a little more like Oklahoma is rather than just starting out of nowhere, kind of.
Yeah, programs start somewhere. You know, OU.
Yeah.
OU, you know, it's a, you know, my connection to Oklahoma is my cousin is married to the most outstanding player from their national championship in 2000. She pitched every one of their games in the Women's College World Series on their way to their first ever national title in 2000. You know, Oklahoma wasn't a historic program before 2000, and now look at them. You know, they start somewhere. And Nijah is the big story, but yeah, you piece together a team. And I saw somebody today be like, oh, they stole a coach and all the players. I'm like, that's what happens when you lose a coach and you hire a coach. Like, players follow. Like,
that's how coaching goes.
Do you not pay attention to any college sports at all? Like, you know,
almost every program is a stepping stone.
Yeah, it's a stepping stone to get to a bigger program, and players who like the coach that they committed to follow that coach. Not everyone did. Sam Landry, the pitcher that we went against last night, did not follow him here.
She probably wanted to, but then we got Nijah instead.
Saw that it was going to be Nijah. Imagine having that as a 1-2 punch.
Oh, man.
Crazy. But I just don't understand. So it's like, for me, my thoughts on it are, you know, the best players at every sport at the peak of their sports are making pretty damn good money. When you look at softball as a sport, what's beyond college right now? There's an up-and-coming league that, like, literally just started with four teams that I think starts this summer.
You're not making money, though.
There's not – yeah, you're not making money yet. That's a startup.
Look at the WNBA. Yeah. They're still going almost 30 years later and struggling.
Yeah. You know where they make their money? Sponsorships.
The NBA.
Sponsorships and stuff like that. Caitlin Clark makes all hers from all her State Farm and Gatorade and shoe deals and all that stuff like that. But still, they're like, she's making a pretty good money for, you know, professional. I just think, like, getting mad at somebody making money for being the best player in the sport at the peak of the sport, like, women's college softball right now is the peak of it until there is a professional league that actually is sustainable and gets players paid and helps them make a living. Like, this is it. So why shouldn't she make a killing to be the best player in a sport that literally she pitches every inning? Like, this isn't baseball.
Not like she signed this deal and then sat on all her money and didn't perform. She performed better than ever.
It worked out. Better than, like, you probably expected.
Yeah, it worked out for her, and she's going to get another one of those next year because of what she did.
Yep.
And I think everybody, especially OU people or big softball people online, they're just mad because this NIL age is different and we are playing it different. I mean, you look at the football, what they did, and you did it in softball. Like, I wouldn't even say you're disrupting the flow because NIL already did that. You're just figuring out how to ride it better.
You're disrupting the flow because you're not the blue blood, and it's supposed to be the blue blood.
Well, you're not trying to stick to what it used to be, because that's not what it is anymore.
Yeah. Oh, UCLA, we have all this historic pride and all this stuff. What does that get you? A big fat L. Yeah. Oklahoma, what do you got? A big fat L. Like, you know, I'm sorry, we're playing the game. We ain't broke, and we got donors who want us to be good, not just football, but in other sports, and they're shucking out the money to do it. And anybody to say they wouldn't just shuck that money out for Nijah is stupid. Look at the dividends that it pay back. Like, I've seen it posted out there. I think Danny Cannell said it, of like random people. This is like the best NIL investment that there's been so far. And like, if you look at it
directly,
probably underpaying her a little bit for what she said. Like, it's probably, you know, a bargain of a deal, because it's definitely going to go up next year. That's for sure. If she's able to help bring home a national title to Lubbock, Texas. I don't get it. And I think it's, you know, I saw a lot of people pointing it out today. I think it's hysterical of Oklahoma fans being like, oh, girl making more than her coach. Y'all realize who you got. You realize who you got coming to your women's basketball program, right?
Yeah.
Aleah Chavez, who's going to be making pretty good money, pretty good amount of money, probably more than your basketball coach there. So it's just a lot of putting their foot in their mouth and not understanding like what's happening in their own backyard at the same time, you know, which is super frustrating, but I don't know.
And the other side note of it that's entertaining is it's against Tech fans who love their Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
And you cannot run from anybody on there if you say something bad.
That Monica Abbott girl, like a name I will never remember until now.
List,
just like, hello.
Anybody that talks smack about Nyjah or this NIL deal just gets buried by a lot of people.
They got receipts. They got facts. They got, hey, look at this. Look at that. Yeah, it's been fun to watch people going at people on Twitter.
Yeah.
But I don't know. And just watching Nyjah compete, like, and hearing her in her interview, she seems like a really good teammate. She seems like a really good athlete.
Yeah.
She seems like a really cool person for little girls who want to play softball to look up to. I think I saw a sign at one of the games that I want to be the next Nyjah Kennedy. Like, that's really cool stuff to see. Like, she can be like a Caitlin Clark type personality for softball.
Yeah.
In a sport that is really growing. Like, the, you know, it seems like every year it just gets bigger and bigger watching it. And, you know, the crowds have been awesome at the games. It's been a really fun environment. You know, you got a lot of eyes on it because a lot of people are trying to see if Oklahoma can five-peat. You get to be the team that knocks them off, that makes waves. And so, honestly, it's just, I'm happy for her. Why, you know, anybody who's going to make their money being good at something, like, I'm never going to get mad at that. Like, cool. Go get your bag. If somebody wants to pay you, that's what you're worth. That's awesome. Go. And that doesn't disqualify us from being a legit title. You know, people saying this title doesn't count. Whatever.
Okay.
You're just mad because it's not you. You Oklahoma lost out to Nyjah Kennedy to us, you know? So,
yep.
Which makes it even sweeter that we're the team that knocks them off. So, I don't know. Get your money, get paid when you can, when you got a chance, especially when you're as amazing as Nyjah is. Like, you deserve to get paid. So, any other thoughts you've had on Nyjah?
No, I think we covered all of it and a lot of the softball that's been happening. It's been great.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been a fun ride.
And we still have more.
Got more. So excited for these ladies, and let's hope that they can bring that natty home to Lubbock, Texas. But it's time to move on to beer number three of our six pack, which we're going to the hardwood for some news that happened a couple weeks ago, but we haven't been able to talk about it on the mics yet. It's Darian Williams committing to NC State. All right, well, the basketball news has been quiet as of late. There hasn't been a whole lot of things, but the big news that has happened over the time that we haven't recorded, D5 has officially committed to the NC State Wolfpack. Will Wade and his new era at NC State putting together a squad there led by Darian Williams now. This was a lot of back and forth in this entire once he entered the transfer portal, it was he was gone. It was, oh, there's a chance. Oh, he wants to come back. Oh, Kansas is the favorite. He's going to Kansas. All of a sudden, he commits to NC State kind of last minute out of nowhere. There wasn't really a whole lot. There was like they're involved, but it was really he's going to go to Kansas. That's what everybody was telling us. Get ready. He's going to pull a Kevin McCullough 2.0, and instead, he is not. He goes to ACC. NC State, your thoughts on the D5 departure now that we can kind of wrap a bow on his time at Texas Tech?
Yeah, this feels a lot better. This is a little TJ Shannon like going to a different conference, different school to finish out his career where he's with another good coach and should be successful. And we can continue to cheer for the player rather than doing the McCullough and going to big bad Kansas
and hating him,
wearing those ugly blue and red. and playing for that coach and fan base and playing against us in our conference. So
yeah,
that was a relief to say the least.
Yeah. I definitely went. Because
yeah, you mentioned it. Like we had been not privy to information, but like told that he's probably coming back, you know, a week or two before to college. And then like, once he does say that, like you start looking and it's like, oh, NC State's popped up. Ohio State has yeah. popped up. And I was like, I don't know if I give them much weight because, you know, it's Kansas
yeah.
that has been in the lead this whole time. And yeah, feels a lot better though that he's going there. I mean, I kind of figured he'd come back to college. I mean, he
yeah.
didn't measure great. He's not a super athlete at a smaller size of his position either. And so those things just don't usually mix well when trying to go to the NBA draft process. And so I kind of expected that. They did apparently fly him into Lubbock to have like a farewell yeah. lunch, I guess you could call it. You can tell him we're out. We're going a different way, bud.
Yeah, you know, to me, it's like a little bit like, you know, obviously I'm happy that he's not going to Kansas. That would have absolutely sucked. I've enjoyed watching Darian Williams in his 2 years at Tech. He's had a lot of great moments. He's been a fun player to watch. And I definitely didn't want that soured, and him going to Kansas would have done that. Him going to NC State, like you said, it's like the TJ Shannon thing. It's like, all right, I can root for him for afar and hope that his career goes well. That he does good things as long as we don't have to run into him at some point, you know, maybe in the tournament or whatnot. But, you know, it ends up being an okay break for me there. I think the frustrating part is just kind of how his party, aka his dad, operated and his agent and the yep. things that he did. It seemed like we really wanted him back, and him entering the transfer portal kind of did that in. I think they knew he wanted to try to go pro, but it was like, hey, like, we're okay with you trying that out, but stay, you know, stay here and come yep. back to Tech. And once he entered the transfer portal, you know, you've got to assume he's gone. You got to operate under that and put together a team, or else, you know, you get left dry, he commits somewhere else, then what do you do? So, you know, you got your D5 replacement already in Lawan Watts. Like, what if right. D5 comes back? What are you going to do there? Are you going to upset Lawan Watts? Is that going to work?
Oh, for sure.
You know, it just became complicated.
If you turn this into a Kansas State situation and
yeah,
you just grabbed guys that don't piece together, and now you have possibly an upset locker room yeah. multiple ways because of how he may act and then how other people act towards him coming back and their minutes being taken. And then it doesn't mesh on the court. You know, you have a whole thing there. Yeah.
And then you don't meet your expectations and things get heated and you never know what can happen. But yeah, I think it's just frustrating because it seems like, you know, from whatever a lot of people said, it's like D5 wanted to come back. He didn't want to leave Lubbock, but you know, you're the guy who made these decisions. Like, people told you to do things, you still made the decision to enter the transfer portal, and that's kind of that. So, you know, it's frustrating. I would love to have him back. I think running it back with him, Toppin, and Anderson would have made you obviously a national title contender, if not, you know, one of the top 2-3 teams in the country. So that's a bit of a bummer to me, but I'll
and, you know,
be okay.
I wonder if yeah. that little piece of, you know, Lubbock and Tech factored into his commitment outside the conference.
Yeah, I hope so.
And maybe he saw some of the backlash starting to come out with his Kansas rumors. So I hope it does. I mean, we'll probably never know that kind of deal, but
yeah,
I like where he landed with a good coach and should be a pretty good program. They brought in, I think, the best transfer class this year.
Yeah, they'll definitely be good. Will Wade's a good coach. You know, he saw his love for Tech. He posted on Instagram. He's rooting for Tech.
Softball
and the
stuff. Yeah.
You know, so, you know, he's not like super Red Raider for life, but I'll still, you know, like TJ Shannon, I'll still root for him and wish him well. And hopefully he does good. The other thing we're waiting on basketball is the Ben Henshaw decision, which has taken a little bit of a turn as of late. It felt like we were heading in the right direction, but apparently there's some issues that he might have of getting into school. Not a GPA, but what did you say earlier? We ain't playing school.
Yeah, as the great philosopher Cardell Jones once said, we ain't here to play school.
We ain't here to play school.
I was getting very hopeful on him, especially after the Boogie Flan commit to Florida. Apparently they were wanting Henshaw really bad as well. Maybe they still do, but with Boogie Flan going to Florida, really put us in the driver's seat to get him if he went to college or out. And so kind of to hear that news from you makes me a little weary, because I think we still need that extra guard and ball handler help at a starting tight position, off the bench.
I think you desperately needed a guy like Ben Henshaw if you want to be a top
and experienced a little bit.
Top contender and really have a chance at a national title. I think he kind of puts you into that tier of teams. Some of the stuff today that I've seen is that Kansas has entered the mix and that he just might not be able to qualify to get into Tech because of his GPA. We knew there might be some issues with him being a foreign, from Australia. There's always some kind of acceptance issues there, but if he doesn't have the GPA to get in, that might cause problems. The only thing you got to hope is that, and I'm sure they got things prepared, is that, what's the backup plan if you don't get this guy? Like, where do you go from here? Cause you need another guard, another guy who can kind of spell Christian Anderson, give you some primary ball handling. And so you need to fill that. I don't know really what else is out there right now. It's pretty late in the portal season. So I don't really know, who that is. It's also been very quiet on that front. So there just really hasn't been pretty much any news the last few weeks regarding prospects or things you're going for other than Ben Henshaw. So if you don't land him, I think that will feel like a pretty big blow. Unless you're able to kind of make some magic with whatever is left out there, but it's already kind of getting bare. Maybe some miracle happens, like the Joe Toussaint thing where coach gets fired and you get a late transfer who comes in to play. Maybe something like that happens, but banking on that to happen's not the best thing to do, I think, but it's kind of where we stand right now.
USC kid.
Yeah. He would be the best kid.
So,
there's a few out there.
USC kid's by far the best right now.
But I don't think we, from what I've been told, we don't have a whole lot of interest in him. But maybe if you lose out on Henshaw, that changes and you try to switch things up. Who knows? But that's where we stand in basketball. D5 gone, waiting on Ben Henshaw. And it's time to crack open beer number 4. Going to the diamond for some baseball news. The not good baseball team this year. But some news there. Red Raider fans can at long last celebrate the departure of Matt Garner. The Texas Tech baseball season came to an end in, a disappointing fashion, a disappointing season all around. A season, I don't know if I watched more than 5 innings of this season.
You got me beat.
I watched a little bit of the North Carolina series, and then that second series, once we lost to, I can't remember who it was, but once we started 0-6 or whatever, I was like, yeah, I'll keep an eye on Twitter on what happens, but I never really locked in. Wasn't really much of a reason to lock in. But Matt Garner is out as the pitching coach. We've been calling for his head for many years now. The pitching has just gotten worse and worse and worse. Sure, there was good times that we had some good pitchers along the way. A lot of guys that carried us to places that we had never been to in the sport. But it looked like the whatever magic he had, that touch is now gone. The pitching just constantly just getting worse, giving up huge amounts of runs, blowing tons of leads. Guys can't throw a strike. Guys walking batters left and right, hitting batters, giving up hits, giving up bombs. It just became super frustrating over the last few years and was one of the reasons like you haven't been able to find success. You've had offense, but you're, when your offense is having to beat out 12 plus runs a game, it's going to be really hard for any team to win. So Matt Garner is out. What are your thoughts on Garner era of pitching finally being over?
Yes, yeah, probably a couple years too late. You've slipped and slipped and slipped the last few years. And I know Tadlock's true to his guys, but you know, I think Garner's been there for 12 years with him, and that means a lot. But at some point, you got to have some hard conversations and get some stuff fixed. And couldn't do that over the last like 3, maybe 4 years.
Lost lots of pitchers that were quality guys, too.
Yeah, that's the thing. And like, we've had less and less of them in the last handful of years, and maybe that is also part of this, is we couldn't even recruit guys. But even over the last few years, handful of years, you've had like one good pitcher for a year, and then they leave to go to Arkansas.
Yeah,
like every year. And so it's like, how do we also have like only one good guy now, when, you know, over five years ago, when we were going to World Series quite often, we had like three guys out of the bullpen we could trust. We had at least two starting pitchers that were good, and then we could piece together the other two spots decently well. And
Duschetter.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you could combo it up. Now you only have like one starting pitcher that's decent.
I don't even know if we have one starting pitcher who's decent.
It's gone to worse, yeah. And that's where I'm like, can't even recruit the guys. If they, over the last few years, there's been like one good one here and there. That's what I mean. Like, I don't know how much credit he kind of gets for that one person, because I think they probably already have the talent to get to the level they got to. Awesome, you would think if the pitching coach is doing that, there's more than one guy elevating to that level. You know, you get what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if
not, you know, like,
but that's the thing. I don't know if we didn't have the guys or the pitching coach or the combination of all of it.
Yeah.
It had ran its course years ago. And so it was well due to happen.
And you've gotten some guys, like highly touted guys and arms that were really good in high school, and they just don't live up to what they're supposed to be. I mean, it's just, you know, the inconsistency with the each guy who gets on the mound, you just never know where you're going to get. They can look awesome one against one batter and get three pitch strikeout, and then the next they could lose control and walk the guy, and then after that they just, you know, there's no stopping the bleeding. You know, you don't have guys who are just going to get up there and throw strikes, and get outs, and it's just been consistent for the last several years. And so you know, it's broken. The baseball team's broken right now, and it needs fixing. And I don't, you know, there's a lot of other things that need fixing. Accepting NIL era, Tadlock has got to get with the times. And it remains to be seen if we'll do that. We'll see what happens this offseason. But if he's never going to adapt to the NIL era, this baseball program is going to keep falling by the wayside. And so it'll be interesting to see who we hire for the pitching coach. It'll be interesting to see what happens this offseason. I expect quite a few players to probably enter the portal here. I'm not really, I haven't seen a whole lot of names enter just yet, but I would expect a pretty good exodus from this team. And I just, you know, I don't really know what to expect from the future. You know, it seems pretty bleak right now if you're not going to adapt and get along with the time. So we'll be interesting to watch, but Garner is out officially, and I know a lot of Red Raider fans are thankful for that, so we had to get in and mention that in our six-pack. Our final six-pack, our final two beers of the six-pack are going to be NBA-related, so let's head over to the association to talk a little bit of NBA playoffs. Well, the NBA Finals are set. The Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Indiana Pacers for the NBA championship. The Larry O'Brien awaits one of these teams. Your thoughts on the playoffs and kind of how we got here? I mean, we don't have to go super deep into it, but, you know, we We saw, you know, Lakers get Luka only to go out in round one, and the Timberwolves took them out. They get back to the Western Conference Finals only to bow out to the Oklahoma City Thunder, who just seem like they're on a mission to win the championship. The Indiana Pacers on the other side upset the Cleveland Cavaliers and then knock off the New York Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals to reach the NBA Finals. So a lot of entertaining plot lines here.
Yeah, some good series. Denver took Oklahoma City to 7. I mean, yeah. And then they were kind of injured towards the end of it and just couldn't quite match up anymore. I mean, Oklahoma City is a freaking wagon.
Yeah.
With how they play defense and then with one of the best scorers in the league, it's tough to play them. And so I think I saw at one point last week they were 80-18 on the season at that point. I was like, wait, what? That's ridiculous.
You've seen their like point differential in their like home games?
Yeah, home games are astonishing.
It's ridiculous the amount of like,
and so
40 point wins they've had at home.
Yeah, they're going to be tough to match up against because they're pretty dang healthy. Indiana's a fun team, though. I've enjoyed watching them during the playoffs and especially Eastern Conference Finals. I was kind of rooting for them and glad they won. I don't know. I just didn't like watching the Knicks play. I don't know if I just hate Cat or don't care for Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, it's difficult because, like, I like the New York hype, like the fans and stuff like that, but I kind of wanted them to win more for the fans, but like watching them play is just not super fun.
No.
Brunson is, you Cat's know,
pulling up 35 footers. I'm like, dude, you're 7'2".
I hate Cat. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just not really like a fun, likable team when you really like get down to it, unless you're a New Yorker and then you're like, yeah this is our team. But outside looking in, you're just kind of like,
ah. Indiana's the opposite. They're really fun to watch. Yeah. Like I didn't watch a bunch of regular season, but come playoffs I did, and I was like, dude, they're a lot of fun to watch. I mean, I tweeted a couple times. I love watching Obi Toppin dunk a basketball. Yeah. It's so fun every time he does it. And I've seen hundreds of dunks, but I'm like, he's my favorite one to watch.
Yeah, they're very much like 7 seconds or less Suns, kind of. Like, they're fast-paced.
Yep.
They push the ball. Comparison. They love to get the outlet. Like, Siakam does so good on, like, those outlets. Halliburton's a great point guard.
Yeah, they're at half court by two seconds after you scored.
And they got just a bunch of dudes who can knock down shots. You know, Halliburton has had some incredible moments this playoffs, including, like, a 1 in 10,000 chance shot that went in. The one he hit in game one that ends up sending him to overtime and they get the win there and steal game one from the Knicks. They've had some crazy comebacks. They've had like 3 of the most improbable comebacks ever.
They have some clutchness to them, that's for sure.
They have some clutchness and they just, Rick Carlisle, man.
They have an experienced good coach.
He's such a good coach and I always like respected him a lot when he was at the Mavs and what he did to win that title with Dirk and just the, you know, some of the other guys on that team. He's just a really good coach, and this is like the perfect team for him. And Halliburton's the perfect player for him. Siakam is a perfect pairing with Halliburton.
Yep.
I just don't think they're going to match up with the Thunder because the Thunder have everything. They got like four. You know, they got all the guys. They're like the better version of the Indiana Pacers.
I think it's yes. I think it's a fun matchup, though.
Like, yeah,
it should be a very fast paced. We'll see how like Oklahoma City's defense, that's kind of the matchup here, is like their defense with this high-paced Pacers offense. Like, that'll be the critical thing there. But yeah, I agree. They're just a little better version.
It's a little better version. And where I think Indiana's going to really get hurt is, you know, Chet and Hartenstein for Oklahoma City. They don't really have, you know, Miles Turner is kind of all they got as a big guy right now. And those two guys are pretty good. And it's going to be a difficult matchup for them. But, as a basketball fan, you have to like this matchup. It seems very fun. I get mad at all the people being like, oh, the ratings for this are going to suck because Oklahoma City and Pacers. I'm like, you just don't like basketball then, because
yeah,
from a basketball standpoint, this is going to be a pretty fun NBA Finals.
And I'll probably watch this more because it has the Pacers rather than the Knicks, because I just hated watching how the Knicks played.
I think the Knicks would have got destroyed by the Thunder. I think the Pacers, I don't think they'll win, but they have enough to make this an interesting series and to still a game or two, you know, and finally give us an NBA Finals that has some intrigue to it. So I'm excited for it. It's been a fun postseason. There is a lot of exciting moments, some things that we're having to text each other like, bro, did you see that? Like, holy shit.
And the Pacers got Thibodeau fired.
And got today. Tibbs fired. Yeah.
Which I'm not surprised about. It's just, that's how Tibbs basketball works.
It's like, Tibbs ball, yeah.
He'll win you 50 to 55 games every year, but then second, maybe third round playoffs and you're out.
That's it. Can't get you there.
That's what he's going to get you.
To be fair to him, like the team makeup.
You're
going to
be pretty good, you can hire him, but out of that, like, I think they go get Mike Malone from Denver.
Yeah, that was, I saw today that he's the favorite to land that job. I'd be, you know, they got to find some guys to play around them, some alternative players, because, you know, Tibbs just plays like the same five guys over and over, and so got to get some other guys to go.
Yeah, so how about that coaching move? He only plays like, you know, seven guys every game for almost 80 games. Now he starts to use his bench? That's a wild move.
I had no idea Landry Shamet was a New York Knick until like, what?
One of these games, it was like 5 minutes in, and they're like, yeah, Precious Achiuwa is checking in. He hadn't played in like 12 games.
I knew he was a Knick. The other guy, DeLon Wright, I was like, holy shit, DeLon Wright's still in the league?
Who? To try that out in the Eastern, halfway through the Eastern Conference Finals is a terrible move.
I was like, what? Now you're going to play other guys? Was there like another guy that randomly came in that I was like, who the? Yeah, it was very bizarre that all of a sudden Landry Shamet's getting
that's Tibbs basketball, though.
But yeah.
Maybe the Bulls bring him back.
Yeah. Never know. He'll get some other job. Maybe he'll do some analyst stuff for a little bit, and then he'll be back.
I could care if he's in basketball.
Yeah, NBA Finals coming up, Pacers and Thunder. We have a first-time champion, I think, in that sport, so that'll be fun.
No luxury tax teams in this finals.
The Paul George
Finals. Paul George Finals. Both teams traded away Paul George to build
get
these teams.
Better. Yeah. Thank you. You're welcome, Paul Thunder and Pacers, for trading Paul George. That's funny that he was on both of those teams. They traded him, got better, got assets to build these teams.
Yep.
And Oklahoma City got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's now an MVP of the NBA. All right, last beer, the final six pack. Hope you guys are sober through this one. Let's talk about it. I just wanted to talk about something fun here. It's Nick Wright brought these up the other day. It's some rules changes to the NBA that he brought up. I don't know if you saw these, so that's why I kind of wanted to.
I do usually like his ideas here and there. I can't watch a full show of him.
Yeah.
But I like when he just chimes in for 5 or 10 minutes on a show.
Levitard Show will have him on for like 15 minutes every now and then, and like that's enough Nick Wright for me.
Kyle
like comes in and he's like, he's straight good takes, and then I'm like, all right, cool. But he had a couple rule changes that I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on. One, I'm 100% for. The other one, I just found it interesting. I don't know if I necessarily like it. The first one that he brought to the table is, this is the one that I love, is this the replay call.
I did see this one.
Is binding. Like calling a timeout. Like if you hit the fingers for a review, you have to do the review. And if you've already done your two reviews and you hit it, that's a technical. But it is binding, and I think that is a genius idea. I get so mad at every single play. The ball goes out. This guy gets fouled. This guy thinks he didn't foul. And every player hits the, give me the review. Review it. And it happens all game, especially in the NBA where it's terrible. College less so, because they know it's only under 2 minutes.
Some of them do. Some of them know that.
don't. But yeah, the review thing is binding, and if you do it, you have to review it. And if you have already wasted your reviews, it's a technical. I think he said after he was like, you have 1 week of that, and that will stop.
No doubt. Completely. I agree. I did see this the other day when he was on his, was it first speak? First things
speak
first.
Now or speak first, now. Whatever. One of the first FS1 things first. Shows. Yeah.
I like it too. Cause yeah, it's annoying. And it's especially annoying when it's a bench guy role player doing it.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, you have no room to try to ask for that.
Yeah. I'm like, Preston Chua, you're really
yeah.
Some of the guys like, that you see, like, come on, man.
Like, Maxi Klebo is going to ask for a review. Like, no, yeah. I agree. Yeah. If they do it, charge them up, say, all right, timeout. Player 12 asked for a review. We're going to review this play. Oh, no, you called it.
Yeah.
We're going to go look at it. And then that all your coaches will also get on your ass about it too.
Yeah.
Because they don't want you wasting them either.
I just like it also gets so annoying that every time this happens, we got to, you know, review it and then we got to go to the coaches and the coaches got to go look over at their guy on the iPad and he's got to figure out if they're going to review it or not. I'm like you would curb that a lot by getting, you know, making this a rule, getting that out. It just gets so exhausting every time. Oh, review. I thought that was.
Yeah, I hate the college ones that do it because they don't even know the rule of under two.
And they're
doing it in the first half with 14 minutes left.
Yeah, and it's like under two, okay. Yeah, because, you know, I get that. Like, all right, this we don't know who this went off of. I'll do it. I call under the 2 minute. I'm like, look at it. Why not? You know. But yeah, I think that's a genius rule, and I would love to see that implemented yesterday.
Yep.
The other one he brought up was, and I've seen a little bit of discourse on this in the playoffs, is the fouling up when you're up by three, a way to curb that.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So his suggestion here was if it's shot clock is off is the only way that this rule is implemented. If you foul somebody, if you're up by three and you foul somebody, doesn't matter where, if they're in the act of shooting or whatever, it's three free throws.
I mean, you probably need a little more guidelines to that, but it's a good start. It's a good start to it.
Kind of going off the dome off this one. Like, I don't. He had it pretty well thought out because he had like the counter.
It's an intentional foul. Is what he's saying.
You're intentionally fouling. You're also like kind of worsening the product of the game, which I agree with that. But I know it is a strategy, and
it's gimmicky.
It's gimmicky. But a way to curb that and hey, you foul him, shot clock's turned off, any foul. And that was his really like any foul. It doesn't matter if you foul at all, it's three free throws.
Still three.
Like any foul.
I can't get on board with that.
That's where I kind of was like,
if we have a drive and SGA pulls up, Jalen Brunson does his fadeaway. Yeah.
That was his counter to
15
like
feet. I don't think we give three there, but if outside the 3-point line, yeah.
His counter was just to like player. to prevent was he in the act of shooting or was that, you know, to prevent all of those. It's just automatic three, which I kind of agree. You would clear out a lot of gray area between determining, leaving it to the official to determine if he's in the act of shooting. It's actually a two shot foul. If he's not in the act of shooting, it's a three shot foul. So that was kind of his argument, but I found that a little bit interesting. I think it would definitely help.
I could get on board with that. Because
like watching the end of that one, it was a really great Thunder T-Wolves game. It was the one game that was like pretty close. And it gets down to the end and Oklahoma City fouls, you know, up three and kind of.
Yeah, you know, they're going to foul with like 8 seconds left.
And it kind of like, yeah, it definitely made the game a little less exciting. But also, the Timberwolves ran like the dumbest plays ever there and didn't even give themselves a chance to get a look at a three or catch the ball and be able to shoot it. They threw it to guys with their backs to the to the goal. So I don't know, yeah. two interesting things he brought up that I thought would be kind of just fun to pick your brain on and see what you thought about those. But
I could get behind both of those.
I think for the NBA, it would be more fun. I think college, yeah, you keep the foul of three, but NBA could be, you know, it's an entertainment business at the end of the day. You're trying to entertain the fans. That would definitely keep things a little bit more interesting. But anyway, wanted to bring those up. Thought it'd be a fun little item to talk about here in our inaugural summer six pack episode. That does it for our six pack. Anything else you got before we head out for the week?
Something we texted about that we needed to bring up. Big Twitter aspect of my life, especially when Big 12 basketball comes around. John Brinkus of ESPN Sports Science passed away earlier this week.
Yep.
And I use his picture a lot.
We compare Doug Sermons, because Doug Sermons and John Brinkus kind of look similar.
To compare Doug Sermons, and that was a really great show, especially during our childhood.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to retire that picture, tribute to him. No more satire, John Brinkus, Sports Science, Big 12 ref anymore.
Yeah, I was pretty sad seeing that.
Yeah.
It was really shocking coming across the Twitter feed. I immediately had to text you. I was like, oh my gosh, because one of the reasons you use that is because we did like Sports Science.
You know, yeah. Oh, definitely. I knew right away, like, that guy.
Yeah. And so,
I'm like, that's the Sports Science guy. That shit was awesome.
Yeah, we had to mention that. John Brinkus, rest in peace. That was definitely sad news to see. An entertaining show that definitely made you like really think.
I think that show is like a little ahead of its time, to be honest.
I know. I was mid-2000s. Oh, there's some great things. Man, what he could have done with that Tyrese Halliburton shot. Oh, like, would have been great.
That was the highest like bounce off the rim of the season.
Yeah. Crazy.
The Mavericks posted, somebody on the Mavericks Twitter posted one, and it was like the Dirk Nowitzki fadeaway shot and how unblockable it is.
Yeah.
And he's like, if you were as tall as Yao Ming and you had the arm length of Yao Ming and you had the 40-inch vertical of Derrick Rose, you still couldn't block him.
That's crazy. Yeah. Bring Sports Science back. Find somebody who can carry out the legacy that John brings.
Now with all the computer stuff and analytics that you have,
you wouldn't even have to do the show. You could just do like Twitter shorts or, you know, little shorts on it, TikTok or whatever. So anyway, I wanted to mention that one too before we get out of here, but we hope you enjoyed our first edition of the Summer Six Pack. We'll be back here throughout the summer when we have some topics to discuss, Texas Tech related for the most part, but then if we got some other things going on in the sports world we'll find interesting, we'll crack one open and discuss it. So we'll catch you next time. Hope you guys enjoy watching the Red Raiders play for a Natty. Enjoy your tailgates for the softball national championship. And as always, we will catch y'all at the next tailgate.